It is time once again for a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. How are things today?
Well, I looked out the window this morning and saw snow on my deck, and I see 60, 61 the high tomorrow, so I'm not sure if we should talk picnics or cozy comfort food today.
You got a real valid point there, my friend. What I thought I would talk about today, neither one of those. Spring is on the way, we know that. And really, people's thoughts in springtime go to lighter wines. So I thought I would talk about the most popular types of white wine grapes from around the world. And it's, you know, there's so many, it's just incredible. Every country has their own, but the most popular one, of course, for the entire world is Chardonnay. Chardonnay gets its origins in Burgundy, and that's a specific area in France. And the wine of Chardonnay is totally incredible. It's so versatile. Everything from a Chablis, which is 100% Chardonnay, it's dry, flinty, highly acidic, to a soft, embracing Chasson Montrachet, which is more of an enveloping, earthy wine from Burgundy. There are also Chasson Montrachet, which is more of an enveloping, earthy wine from Burgundy. There also is a grape type that very few people know about, but it's worth, if you spot it, trying it. It's called Bourgogne Aligoté. It's the only other white grape type that's allowed in France's Burgundy region. It's called Aligoté, A-L-I-G-O-T-E. And it is like the Chardonnay, but it's quite high in acidity. Actually, a nice wine to have with something like goat cheese, where you need a good cutting edge, or Aligoté would be fine with, say, ceviche, if you're looking for a wine to have with raw shrimp salad, like ceviche is. Aligoté would be a very good one. But Chardonnay, without question, is the king of all, or the queen, they say, of all the white wines in the entire world, and every single wine-producing area of the world produces Chardonnay one way or the other. The other, of course, second most popular white wine is Sauvignon Blanc. And we can thank our friends, the Kiwis from New Zealand, for its real popularity. I remember many, many years ago, Bad Mondavi thought Sauvignon Blanc would be not a bad wine to feature in the line of Mondavi, but no one cared for Sauvignon Blanc, so he named it Fumé Blanc, white smoke, and it was very, very popular. But it really took the Kiwis from New Zealand to popularize Sauvignon Blanc, and it's a totally different Sauvignon Blanc than we see in our country or we see in France. Actually, the origins of Sauvignon Blanc are Bordeaux, where it was used to blend with Semillon for white Bordeaux, and it's, of course, very popular there, and it, too, because of our friends from down under, has become a very much to go to white wine that people either really like or they don't. But and they blend Sauvignon Blanc with a lot of other grape types, i.e. Bordeaux, where they blend it with Semillon to produce a wonderful white Bordeaux, which are wonderful dry wines that are often overlooked. And not only are they overlooked, they're great values today. White Bordeaux can be a real crowd pleaser, and it surprises everybody because they're all used to drinking Chardonnay, and when you have something like a white Bordeaux, which is primarily Sauvignon Blanc or Semillon, mostly Sauvignon Blanc, it is a very worthwhile endeavor to try those Sauvignon Blanc. And if you really like Sauvignon Blanc, try what the French area from the Loire Valley called Sancerre. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, and I like to say it's a Sauvignon Blanc with a college education. It is a little more complex and very endearing versus regular Sauvignon Blanc that we get from everywhere. And again, much like Chardonnay, it's made everywhere. You can get Sauvignon Blancs from Argentina, from Chile, from New Zealand, Australia, etc., etc. The end is limitless. Now, here's a wine that's popular, in my mind only, and that's Sauvignon, or Riesling. Rieslings are really an overlooked wine, and as I always espouse people, to try it with something like smoked meat or smoked trout. It's a marriage made in heaven. Riesling is really a great, great grape type, and has suffered some bad press in the last 20 years or so, and it isn't quite as popular as it used to be. It's an unusual varietal because it's rarely, if ever, blended. Riesling is just a straightforward wine. It has a little bit of fruit to it. There's a little soft edge to it. And as I said, if you're having something like smoked ham, try Riesling with it. I don't think you could do any better at any time. Then there's our old favorite Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris. It's the same grape type. We sell it in this country as Pinot Gris. It's sold throughout the world as Pinot Grigio, and its home is Italy. And usually you'll find that most of the Pinot Gris that you get outside Italy are spicier and more full-bodied. The Pinot Grigios from Italy are lighter and more acidic, and they really make, in my opinion, a wonderful aperitif. Pinot Grigio goes with all sorts of hors d'oeuvres and things like that, and get your palate ready to have the wine that you're going to have with dinner. It makes a terrific aperitif wine. I mentioned briefly Semillon. Well, Semillon is a real powerful grape type unto itself. It's responsible for making all of the great Sauternes, which is another area of Bordeaux, where they blend Semillon with Sauvignon Blanc. And the Semillon is what gives it its character and depth. And Semillon can be found in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, etc. The other wine, and this was a real interesting wine, particularly with spicy food, is Gewürztraminer. The most popular Gewürztraminer comes from the Alsatian area of France. But Gewürztraminer is available from everywhere else, and you'll recognize it immediately because it has a very distinctive nose to it. And that Gewürztraminer nose is what makes it go so extremely well with all sorts of Pan-Asian food. A really delicious, delicious wine. Gewürztraminer, if you can remember the name, is worth having, particularly if you're having some Pan-Asian food. Another wine that's kind of new to the world, really, is Viognier. It's the white wine grape type from the Rhone Valley. And Viognier, there's a small vineyard, which is the smallest appellation in France, and it's made of 100% Viognier. But I like younger Viognier, and I never had a good one until I met my good friend, Paul Moss, who created a line of wines called Laforge. The wines come from the Languedoc area, and his Viognier there, which is about $12 a bottle, is quite simply the best Viognier I have ever had. Viognier is now becoming more common around the world. It's a very interesting wine. And it has a lot of character. It's a little like a Chardonnay. It can be produce different types of wine. But if you want to try a good one, try that Laforge Viognier. You won't be disappointed. The next wine that we should really talk about is Chenin Blanc. Well, Chenin Blanc is, again, a wine from the Loire Valley in France. Actually, today, the largest producer in the world of Chenin Blanc is South Africa. And they are very, very proud of their South African Chenin Blancs, and indeed they should be. I think it is probably the best white wine that's made in all of South Africa. It really is good. And, of course, Chenin Blanc is my favorite to have at Thanksgiving with a wine called Vouvray, which is 100% Chenin Blanc and comes, as I mentioned earlier, from the Loire Valley. It's really a delicious wine and holds its own with roast turkey. If you're having roast turkey any time of year, try a Chenin Blanc with it, and better yet, try a Vouvray, which is a French Chenin Blanc. Then I head down to talk a little bit about Gunter Veltner. That's a wine from Austria. I remember the first year we went to Vienna for New Year's Eve, and we were all so excited about being in Vienna for the Emperor's Waltz, etc., and the bar wine was Gunter Veltner. Well, everybody begrudgingly had a glass of it, and what do you know? Our whole group fell in love with it, and We started to bring a lot of Gauntner Veltner into the United States. It's a wonderful, interesting wine. I would liken it to a cross between a Riesling and a Chardonnay, but it really is a delicious wine and comes from, again, Austria. They're very proud of it, and indeed they should be. It makes a terrific wine. It, too, is a wonderful wine to have with Pan-Asian food. You won't be disappointed in that. Of course, then now a wine that's coming online pretty strong is Torrontés. Torrontés has got its popularity from Argentina. It's the white wine, their biggest export. And it's a very pleasant wine. It has nice aroma, a little like peaches and apricots. And it really is a simple little wine, goes with simple foods very nicely, and is a budget stretcher because the Torrontés are generally not very expensive at all. Then we could go on and on. There's Pinot Blanc, which is a very interesting wine that comes from the northern part of France. Sylvaner, which is another wine from Germany, which is terrific. And then we have Muscat. Muscat is kind of a sweet wine and very good in a lot of things. And then, of course, one of the most interesting things is the Glera grape. Glera grape used to be Prosecco. That was the grape type. And the Italians were having a hard time with everybody in the world selling Prosecco, and it's their name, much like the French do with champagne. So what did they do? The Italians, they changed the name to Glera. And what was formerly Prosecco is now the Glera grape. And speaking of Italians, they make a white wine there that I never thought I would like. I thought it was a blending type of grape, etc. But boy, have I changed my mind, because some really super winemakers are now experimenting with Vermentino. And they make an absolutely wonderful white wine. Again, a little zippy, spicy, good with spicy foods. Vermentino, if you get a good one, is really worth pursuing. Again, it's from Italy, etc. And speaking of odd white wines, Albarino is a white wine from Spain. And I'll never forget the first time I tried that. I was with my good friend Count Vincenti, who owns Marquis de Murrieta, the winery, and he said, "Have you never had it?" I said, "No, I really never have." He said, "Well, we'll have it with lunch." And we had an Albarino with lunch, and we had a seafood paella. And I'm telling you, that Albarino and the seafood paella were an absolute marriage made in heaven. So whether your favorite is a Chardonnay, a Pinot Blanc, any kind you want of white wine, I think it's a good idea to reach out and try some of these new ones. You know, you can fall in love with Chardonnay, but you're missing a whole spectrum of wonderful wine if you just stick with one varietal. You know, you don't have to fall in love with them, and you don't have to drink them all the time. But I think you should try them only for your own education and the fact that they go with so many different foods that Chardonnay has some difficulty with. And so believe me when I say white wines aren't all Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc. They're two big powerhouse wines and compromise about maybe 75-80% of the white wine market of the world. But these others are certainly worth seeking out and worth trying, if for nothing else, your own education. And it's fun to see how these marry so well with foods. Incidentally, speaking of food, I had about 7 emails asking me about that hard egg dressing that I suggested people make to use up leftover Easter eggs. It's very simple. It's 1/3 of a cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup of vinegar, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, and 3 hard-cooked eggs crumbled up. You mix them all together, salt and pepper to taste, nothing to it. It's called a hard egg dressing. It's, again, 1/3 cup of olive oil, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup of vinegar, 2 parts olive oil, 1 part vinegar, tablespoon or 2 of Dijon mustard, and 3 eggs that you've chopped up. Mix it all together, and you can pour that on asparagus. You can pour it on a salad. It's just a delicious egg dressing.
And as usual, you're making us all hungry again at this time of the morning. But if you are interested in all the good thoughts that Jack had today, stop in any one of the Haskell's locations. They'll help you out.
Indeed, the folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. This afternoon, we're tasting the LaForge wine, incidentally, that I went on and on about their good Viognier that I like so well. And we'll be tasting that at all 11 locations today, that whole line of LaForge wines. They're really good, and they're very modestly priced. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine, and also they'll marry the wine with whatever food you're having. And you know what? Best of all, they're going to help you pick a wine that will not cost very much, because as we speak, our 90th spring celebration is on. We've been in business for 90 years. We've gotten pretty good at marrying food and wine over that time span, and we encourage you to come in and share our knowledge with you. There's a store in Bloomington, Excelsior, Faribault, right off at 35, Maple Grove Supercellar, not to be missed, 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Very good, Jack. Have a great week, and let's meet up again next Saturday.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's.